was here revealing it. We thank you for that, Lord. We do appreciate vindication. We are so happy to have something to go by, Lord, to know that this is the truth of this hour, Heavenly Father. Otherwise, we know that we would have to be in darkness after 2,000 years when the change even began to come to place in the first age under Paul, when he said they already have another Jesus, another Spirit, another Word. And we've seen them where that is tonight then, Lord, that where is the truth? Who has the truth? Who is a Christian? Who is full of the Holy Ghost? We know, Lord, that brings us right down to the wire, right down to the sifting, right down to the finest sieve. And we know, Lord, that that is in this hour. Who then is a child of God? We're so grateful that we have the answers. We have your answer to us, Lord, that we might know, even though we really did not know the question was lying there, but you exposed it and brought it to light and gave us the truth and are leading us in light, which we're grateful. We thank you for it and pray as we study tonight that we may hear more from you through the lips of the prophet and garner the truth into our hearts where it may feed our souls and bring us further along the way, Lord, more and more and deeper into the kingdom, even as you have come more and more into the church until now, you are that Holy Spirit head capstone revealed to us. And we, Lord, then going more and more into the millennium, more and more from time into eternity, more and more, Lord, into immortality. These things have to be true. We thank you for them, and we know, Lord, that you are working in people's hearts to bring the perfect that work and bring forth the resurrection, rapture, and the great wedding supper. We thank you that we are privy to it. We know these things. You've blessed us to that end. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're at number 7 on the restoration of the bride tree. And of course, it's about 6 weeks since we were reading and commenting on Brother Branham's message, The Restoration of the Bride Tree. And this life, that's what God wants. God is going to get it. In discussing the fall of the church, Brother Branham speaks from Joel, wherefrom he informs us that the palmer worm, locust, caterpillar, canker worm are names of one insect that appears in 4 stages and forms, and those forms type the various stages and deterioration and loss. We notice that he describes what happened in the New Testament church which was born at Pentecost. That greedy insect began by infiltrating the church, you know, like a fifth column of those who were literally antichrist. And the first thing that was put out of the church were the 9 spiritual gifts. With the 9 gifts gone, the fruit of the Spirit was attacked. Brotherly love suffered first of all. The next casualty was faith. Then rapidly followed the destruction of the joy of salvation. Thirdly, divine fellowship went by the boards and was supplanted by invoking saints and relics and all manner of perversion. The very truth of the Godhead, one God in water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, was banished. Misunderstanding Matthew 28:19. They substituted titles for names and built their churches on it. So we're going to read now back where that started on page 41, and you'll notice that Brother Branham, as we previously looked at some of the things he said were taken from the church by this terrible insect, one of which was the joy of the Lord, the people shouting and praising God. And that is true, but you'll notice also he talks about that in page 33 in Gabriel's instruction to Daniel. I see people getting in the flesh and shouting and carrying on and going out and living all kinds of lives. There's got to be a genuine Holy Spirit somewhere. I see people acting religious and so forth and trying to be pious. I know there's a genuine God somewhere. There's a genuine spirit somewhere, because that's an old hypocrite that's made off of it, an old bogus one. In other words, counterfeit must always have an original. There's got to be something that's real, a man, a people, a church, a God. There's got to be something true somewhere, because these were just copied off of it. There's something real somewhere. I've said to this church about gifts. Remember, he said the first thing went is gifts. Listen to what he says about gifts. I've said this to this church about your gifts. Listen to your gifts. Keep them in the Bible. Don't take a substitute when the skies are full of the real ones. Let's keep the real ones. Let's get the real ones, or don't have any at all. Amen. So, all right. Now we've come to the place where Brother Branham has spoken of taking away the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in water baptism and substituting titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And page 41 we read, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is no name. There is no such thing as such a thing. Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. When Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, exactly what Peter and those did. And all, everybody in the Bible were there. There were everybody. I challenge anyone to bring me one piece of scripture, one piece of history, where anybody was ever baptized in any other way in the name of Jesus Christ until the Roman Catholic Church. Now that's true, and the Roman Catholics admit it. They admit it to the fact that if you've been baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you are a Roman Catholic. You belong to the church. You've been inducted into it, you've been baptized into it, you are one of them. Now, do that. And remember, this tape goes around the world. Well, do what? Find if there's somebody ever baptized in the Bible outside of Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, this tape goes around the world. I've held congregations of ministers with hundreds of them, bishops and everything else. Say, stand to your feet, or come here with your Bible, or hold your peace forever. They held their peace until they get around behind you, and then they start talking about you. Not the very audacity to stand in your face. Common decency to stand and tell you to your face. They're afraid to do it. They know it's wrong. But that's what that canker worm started eating, see? Eating away that real thing. Now you say it's not essential. Any way I'm baptized is all right. Now that is not true. Because there's a certain prescribed formula for it. There's where, as I mentioned previous to the message, when you talk about principles, you must adhere to those principles. There can be no deviation from it. As Brother Branham said, one of the principles is this: if God had one thought different from his first thought, he couldn't be God, because God cannot steadily improve. He cannot become more powerful, more omniscient. He is exactly what he is. And if he did one thing a certain way, he's got to keep on doing that way every single time. See? So you have those principles in there, and the principles were laid down. In the name of, what is the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Well, the actual fact of the matter is there's no such thing as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as though there were three people, as though you're looking at a name. Brother Branham did use the thought of titles, which I do not like, because he was using what the oneness people use and other people use. I like what he began to use himself, which is roles. And what he was doing in the great drama of God himself moving and doing what he wanted himself to be done. Any way that I'm baptized is all right. That's not true, is it? Paul said in Acts 19, when Paul passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, the Bible said he found certain disciples or followers. Apollos, a Baptist preacher under John the Baptist, was teaching them the word, and they were having great joy. And Paul just went over to see them, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Oh, they say, I'm a believer. He said, that's not what I'm asking. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, you may think that Brother Branham is being a little dramatic here and a little removed from the word, because you don't hear all of this going on in the Bible. Let me tell you flat, this is exactly what could have occurred. I asked a man one time years ago in the Baptist church over there in Spencerville. I said, when were you born again? Thought he's a venerable old saint, maybe you'd go back to the age of 18. Oh, he said, I went to the altar when I was so-and-so. I said, I didn't ask you that. I said, when were you born again? He became ashen in his face. So if you think Brother Branham is just dramatizing and throwing some words in here just because he's a wordy or windy fellow, you're entirely wrong. These could have been the exact words that were spoken. And they said, we don't know whether there'd be any Holy Ghost. He said, then what were you baptized unto? In other words, how were you baptized? Oh, they said, we were baptized. In other words, now he's holding a how were you baptized. And this is the effect he wants to get upon the people listening to this tape. How were you baptized? Don't sit here and tell me, oh, it's okay, when it wasn't okay back there. And you sit there and say, oh, bless God, I believe the Bible, and I believe the Word doesn't change, and I believe God doesn't change. You're a liar. That's not nice, is it? I don't care if it is nice. It's the truth. The truth is always nice. So they finally said under John, the same man that baptized Jesus, wouldn't that be just exactly perfectly right? Oh, come on. From experience, you couldn't beat it. Here's the man that baptized Jesus. And Jesus was the vessel of Almighty God. And this one here did the mighty miracles, and God was in him doing it. Now, if you want to get them right to the horse's mouth, you might say, you show me anything better than being baptized by John. Let's just take a peek at that for fun, because don't feel bad the way I use the word fun. Let's use the word stimulation and exhilaration. So let's let a little stimulation and exhilaration come in here. This is Luke, the first chapter. And here's what the angel said. Fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And he shall go before the Lord God in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the father children, even the disobedient, the wisdom just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Well, if that's not the highest authority, I want to know who is, because he went right before Almighty God. Sure. Foreran him. Picked him out of the crowd. Well, bless God, good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. Yes, sir, bless God, good enough for Finney, good enough for me. Good enough for Spurgeon, good enough for me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I can tell you one thing, what those fellas ain't good enough for Lee Vale at all. I want exactly right. And I mean, I want exactly right from God. From God's dealing, not my dealings with God. Forget it. No man ever lived the truth except Jesus Christ. But we can believe it. And if you don't get your believing right, I don't care what living you do. You're just as bad as this guy. He's dead. I don't know what God holds against him, but I can tell you one thing. That was a wrong spirit he had when he touched people and they fell over it. Well, Brother, I just wouldn't want to judge a man. He already judged himself. It's right here in his own writing. And a prophet comes by and says, that's the wrong spirit. And there's only two spirits. Oh, yeah, people shake their heads. Say, I can't go for that. I wonder if there are some back in the days of Paul that said, I can't go for that either. Why, we were baptized under John, the same man that baptized Jesus. Wouldn't that be all right? And Paul said, no, not now, not anymore. You've got to be baptized over again. And Paul baptized them over again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came on them. And Paul said, if an angel from heaven, let alone some preacher, if an angel from heaven, let alone this canker worm, the spirit of delusion, devil. If an angel from heaven preaches anything else than this to you, let him be accursed. Now remember under the seventh seal, Brother Branham said the major revelation of this hour is there is one God. And you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if you have not been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be rebaptized. That is thus saith the Lord. So you see what it was. The canker worm got you eating. It ate away the baptism of water in the name of Jesus Christ. The next thing the canker worm did, he taken away the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, now watch this one. The next thing he did was take away the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because as long as you're going to have that Holy Ghost, it's going to shed light on that word as long as you do that. Which means what? As long as the baptism with the Holy Ghost is preached and the experience is with the people, he is going to give you light on that word. It'll be the light for your hour and for your day. And there's where people get mixed up right now. They say, oh, bless God, the word never changed. It never did. Granted. But they don't realize that people changed it. And they don't realize that beyond that, there always will be a people who repent. The elect of Almighty God, the foreknown, who will see that word, even if it's one speck of light for that hour. And that's all it takes, because the word is the conduit of the Holy Ghost. And tell me, you that are baptized with the Holy Ghost, how much Holy Ghost do you really have? Does it matter if it's the size of a pinhead? Or it takes a microscope to see it? Do you understand the sperm takes a microscope and a head of a pin doesn't? But the sperm has the life. How much life? Eternal life, if it is a son of God to come forth. Human election. You see why this man had those visions of heaven and hell and couldn't tell one thing right about it? He didn't have a clue being about a part of God. An Armenian. Nothing against the Armenians, just they don't know the word. Pentecostals. Now listen, brother, sister, let me read this again. The next thing this cankerworm did, he took away the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because as long as you're going to have that Holy Ghost is going to shed light on that word. Now, question. Ready for it? I want an answer, so don't sit there dumb. I beg your pardon, Mum. As it was in the days of Noah, according to the Scriptures, how many people made the ark? Tell me. Thank you. Then how many people today do you believe are really filled with the Holy Ghost? Huh? Not very many. See what Brother Branham said, Branham Tabernacle? It's not enough to say, yes, I believe it. Oh, I agree with you. It's vindicated. Sure, it's true. Are you full of the Holy Ghost? There's only one test. How you agree with William Branham, vindicated prophet of God. Not with what you think or I think, but it's vindicated. Demonstrably vindicated. Scientific. What's the word science mean? And it comes from the Latin word skiro, skiwi, skiwi, skidum. Skiro, science, meaning to know. If William Branham said, thus saith the Lord, as he did in Vermont concerning a veteran in New York Hospital, and the veteran's wife sat there, and he said, sister, you're wondering about your husband. He's a veteran. He's in New York. They don't know what's wrong with him. They can't tell. They just want to keep him there. But he said, thus saith the Lord. He'd be out of that hospital and sitting in the service tomorrow night. Well. And he was. Science! 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 Don't tell me different. Because you know some stupid theorem. And you're a mathematician or science, the highest order, you are nothing compared to that scientific fact of a living God manifesting himself thousands and thousands of times. Thus saith the Lord. That woman in Arkansas, she was black. Which doesn't mean anything, she's simply black. A raving maniac.
And her sister sat in the meeting in the balcony, and Brother Branham pointed and said, "Your sister is a raving, unrestrained maniac in a padded room in Arkansas." "Thus said the Lord, tomorrow night she'll be sitting in this meeting. Listen to me. What doctor idiot or panel of super stupid psychiatrists, psychologists would suddenly let a raving maniac out? Hallelujah! Don't fool with God. I sat in too many meetings not to know what I speak of. My question still comes. How many people are full of the Holy Ghost? One word off is all it takes to prove you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. I don't speak of foolish virgin. I'm not qualified to. But you are being left tonight with something you have not thought of. But you're thinking of it now. 8 people made the ark. The same number percentage-wise is holds today. How many are full of the Holy Ghost? Sealed to the day of redemption. Not very many. Now just think of how many Lutheran Protestants, how many Catholics this morning were confirmed. What they call it, taking their first communion. And they call that the Holy Eucharist, which is the Lord's Supper, which in Latin word means Holy Ghost. I don't know exactly if Brother Branham has that 100% right. He certainly could have it. I couldn't find it to research it at this point. But he's certainly right on the Eucharist. And that's receiving the first communion, joining the church. And that's the same as receiving the Holy Ghost. Yet, did you ever see a Catholic pass by the church? Cross himself? Why? It's God in that church. What is God? That little piece of bread, that little piece of bread, round made like the sun god that they worship, lying there on the altar where the mice and the roaches pack it around overnight. That's not my God. I'll tell you that now. Father Chinnicky tells of a priest who almost went insane because he forgot to put the bread away. When he consecrated by his own little formula from the church, that bread was turned into God. And he said, "Oh, mon Dieu, that's my God, mon Dieu, mon Dieu, mon Dieu." Crying, tormenting himself. The mice ate his God. Any God that can be eaten by a mouse or even a lion ain't God. This reminds me, well, I won't tell it because it would be a joke, and I don't want to waste my time on a joke, but it's a good one. Listen. First communion, meaning confirmed to the church. Nonsense. But that's what they did. That's what the cankerworm did. Now we see one insect doing all of this. This one insect was in 4 stages. In Joel 2 and 25, you will read it. And you'll notice in Revelation chapter 6, verses 2, 4, 6, and 8, there was a white horse, there was a red horse, there was a black horse, there was what? A brindle horse, not pale, all poured into one. So Joel was looking at our day. It took away the spirit, listen, and gave them a piece of bread. But man shall not live by bread alone. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But they made it that. Some bread that some priest made or some nun or something. That's what they did. That's exactly right. Go ask now. Go looking back in history and see if it isn't right. And you let that thing be shoved down your throat? How is it that what we consider to be brilliant minds, astute citizens, sound citizens, can swallow junk like this when it comes to religion? I'd sooner have nothing. I would sooner be an agnostic. And say, well, let's wait and find out. Shove it down your throat. Not only those Catholics, but you Protestants. And many of you, the same thing. All right. Here's what they did. That's what they were doing, see? And then the Protestants, instead of having the Holy Ghost, you know what they do? They come and join and shake a hand. There wasn't a somebody come up the road and shook a hand when the day of Pentecost came. But there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. That's right. Came down through those leaves on the tree. Poured over the bark. That's right. Now, you'll notice that Brother Branham is talking about church joining and the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And if you have any doubts about it, let me assure you the man is 1,000,000% correct. As we look over here in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we'll read a few verses, 12 and 13. But for as the body is one, have many members, and all the members that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into that one Spirit. And in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And with that we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 3. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. What's he trying to tell you? Join a church. That's ridiculous. Be baptized with the Holy Ghost. His brother Branham said, God and Jesus or no apostle ever gave an altar call. He gave a water call. Why? Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, people hate the thought. And I preached this many years before I listened to Brother Branham's preaching. I knew the altar was getting in the way of God. And when I preached it, I was loathed. You think I've been loathed for preaching this message here. That was quietly done. You should have heard what they told me. Because I dared to exalt the Christ and not the altar. And William Branham dares to exalt the head. And denounce a superficial, hypocritical, idolatrous, lying body. Where the Catholic Church says, we're confirmed, we came in and got the Holy Ghost by taking this wafer. Notice the priest did the drinking. Do you know Jack Kennedy's funeral? I saw that on TV, and I swear that guy was wobbling on his feet by the time he kept drinking the booze. Could have poured a little on the casket. I don't know. Hadn't done any good or not. You get that little old piece of bread. You call that full of the Holy Ghost? The Protestant's just the same? He's joining a church. But Brother Branham shows us here, and he's telling us, that's not it. If you are full of the Holy Ghost, you are in the church. And if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you are not in the church. And now, instead of the new birth, there you see. And now, instead of the new birth, right back to John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now it's better than new birth. A man must be born again. They adopted joining the church. In other words, they took it instead of. Come and join. And instead of the word the cankerworm gave them a creed. Don't you see? Look here what he's doing. He's giving a natural for a spirit. Spiritual, can you see? Now in the old days, it says no man durst join himself. They must have had Holy Ghost leaders in those days. Today anybody joins. Now, Brother Branham categorically brings up the fact here that they are getting a natural instead of a spiritual. In other words, they have turned aside the vindicated word. And now they have a carnal word. Now, remember, Paul doesn't vindicate himself, but he But he talks in terms of the vindication from God that he has received the only true gospel in existence. It was given to him for the Gentiles, and it could not be proven wrong because he was vindicated. He tells you he got it from God, which he most certainly did. And then he tells them in 2 Corinthians, you have already destroyed your standing before God by virtue of leaving your first love. You now have another Jesus, another Spirit, and another Word. And all it takes is one word off to corrupt what? The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now what do you got? Jesus. You got God the Son. It won't work. Eternal sonship is a lie. Sons have beginnings. Now you got the Holy Ghost mixed up with the Father. Like your brother was telling me the other day, he was very, Roger telling me that he was very enthused at Brother Branham's ministry. In fact, he was so excited, he went with a friend of his to visit this fellow's former pastor. And of course, a young convert like Roger, he was zealous and he opened his mouth. And of course, he put his foot in the preacher's mouth, and the preacher got so mad he bit Roger's foot off. But the fact remains, Roger told him about what he said. Why, he said, there's no three gods, he said, and your water baptism's wrong. And the preacher, right then, the sweet, beautiful preacher began to get angry. And so Roger said, just a minute now, sir, let's get this flat. Do you believe that Jesus was actually the Son of God? He said, yes, that's certainly true. Well, he said, that's strange now, because the Bible said that Jesus was fathered by the Holy Ghost. And nobody ever heard of one son having two fathers. And he said, the man just grew livid and began just screaming at him. When the saints go marching in, with their Pentecostal pockets lined with tin, they're not going where I'm going. All their screaming and dancing and hollering isn't going to get them anywhere near I'm going. Because they're relying 100% upon the natural instead of the spiritual. What is the natural? The natural is man's reasoning based upon the Word of God, the same as Eve based reasonings upon the same Word in the beginning. No change in the Word. And Adam, listen. Now look, we're on the Catholic line here. But did you know that come right down to the Protestants too? Where do we have the Holy Ghost demonstration in Protestant churches today? Where we have a Pentecostal reaction in amongst Pentecost. Protestants. We don't have. You have it in Lutherans. If you want to go to it, I want to go over there and just eat and have a wonderful time. Presbyterian, I wonder where it's at. See, we've adopted something natural. Now, Brother Branham said, if they had this, he would have a wonderful time with them. But the point is, they do not have the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and consequently, they are off the Word. Now, notice, he says, you've adopted something natural. All right. This is an indictment against the charismatic movement, the neo-Pentecostals of Catholicism, all of those who have exalted the gifts. They have taken something natural, which is a human explanation concerning the word, concerning gifts. So, what is he really driving at here? He is driving at the fact, as we well know, that they have taken gifts instead of the giver. Now, this is the hardest thing in the world for a Pentecostal or anybody who's dealt in gifts to come to the conclusion that there are gifts apart from a genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost. Right. But let's put it this way. There aren't gifts of the Holy Ghost apart from the Holy Ghost giving them to you. But it doesn't mean you've got Him who gave you what you got. Now that's the stumbler. You say, well, how could I talk in a genuine tongue? That only this a supernatural thing. Now, if I have this supernatural thing, then I must be okay. How then can you stand before the Scripture? And Jesus himself said, many will come in that day, speaking of this day, Now, you say, how do you know he spoke of this day? Because he tell them in John, in Matthew 24, I told you this before about these false prophets. And he told about those false prophets in Matthew 7. And in Matthew 7, many will come in that day and say, Lord, have you not cast out devils in one day? I never ever knew you. Depart from me. Now I'm going to put it right back where it belongs. Show me that the devil has any power outside of God's own power that he allowed Satan to have. Because the Bible says all power is of God. And so people simply do not understand. As Brother Branham said, if I give you my pen, I do not give you myself. And God can give you gifts of the Spirit, and you can be absolutely devoid of God, even as the Scripture tells us. So what have we got? We have the natural. We have manifestations all around us. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, healings, many, many things. And no more God than anything. Now, Brother Branham says in the next verse, now listen carefully. And he's at age 53 when he says this. I'm fixing to leave. You know that, see? But don't you ever let this get out of your heart. Don't take the natural. That's death. The natural is death. Anything it does is death. It's subject and here for death. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that makes you alive. The spirit that gives life, quickens it. It's the spirit. Now, Brother Branham is categorically going back to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Why? Because that's what Paul talks, the book of Romans. And he says in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, he's addressing not a bunch of heathen who have no contact with the church. He's addressing the church. And if there's three kinds of believers now, there were three kinds then. Believer make believer and unbeliever. Certainly. Go back to the apostles. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Shows you're not in the body of Christ, but also shows you that you cannot err concerning the Word. Any more than Mr. Fox's vision could be true. There is no such thing as God having given the Son all of these children and losing any. And they were all there before the foundation of the world. So according to Mr. Fox, God can lose a part of himself. Which is the most utter nonsense I've ever heard in my life. But you see, they don't. That's everything goes to the natural. The reasoning, the reasoning, the reason. Forget the reasoning. And also forget how you and I want things done. That's where Israel made his big mistake, how they wanted things done. And God didn't do things that way, so they got angry. Didn't do them any good. They got destroyed. See, back there, in Paul's day, now in Brother Branham's day, you got the very same thing. That's why he preached the greatest battle ever fought and said, you haven't got a thing coming. So you see, they took, watch what they did. Took the water baptism from Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, a title which is no name at all. Now you say, what difference does it make? All right, someone's going to give you your paycheck on Saturday. And a man that pays you, instead of putting his name on there, just says from the boss. That's what it is. Your paycheck. Just pay the order, John, to 150 this week's work from the boss. Put it down at the bank and see how it bounces back. Yes, sir, it sure will, certainly. If it doesn't make any difference, why did Paul command those Christians praising God and having a lot of joy and having great things going on up there? Why did he tell them, you've got to come back and be baptized over again in the name of Jesus Christ, see? Now that's the question, and that's the great question of the seventh seal, which we must do. As Brother Branham said, take your check down, have written on it from the boss. If the boss's name or the company's name not on there, you haven't got a check. It's going to bounce. Because it's a name. Make the word say, so-and-so. Just stay with it. Don't say anything different. Just say what the word says. See, that's what you're going to be judged by. You're going to be judged by the word. So, all right, get used to the word now by saying and saying only the word. And when you say only the word, you'll begin to conform to it. And it'll help you. Notice in Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Have we ever had a greater time of assurance that Jesus has raised from the dead than this hour? Never. Brother Branham actually said his ministry is the greatest ministry of all time. He said, oh boy, I don't like a guy that boasts. You mean a guy that is boasting because he knows that 2 and 2 are 4? Was Einstein boasting because he understood the law of energy and the formula? You know, people can be so ignorant. And you know, Paul knew that. He said, he doesn't let him be ignorant still. And they said, hey, how's it going to be? He said, fool. Idiot. You know, God doesn't think very much of polluted minds. Okay, judge the world by one Christ Jesus. Judge it in righteousness. Let's go to Romans 2:16. What does it say there? It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now it gets a little bit quickened to our understanding. Let's go a little further now. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joined in marrow, discerns the and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's in our day. We saw it done. Let's go further. 2 Thessalonians. And the first chapter. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Paul's revelation. Believed when the judge comes down with the left and the right hand. Okay, go to verse 14, the second chapter. Whereunto he hath called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's telling you that here. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in them. Now, what's the verse above it? We're bound to give thanks always to God through brethren, be beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth. That's the same separated by the word in Matthew 24. The division to be taken out of the world in Luke chapter 17. See, there's your picture, your perfect picture. You see, brother, sister, there isn't one sermon that Brother Branham preached that isn't interrelated to every other sermon he preached. One continued unfolding of one great and wonderful gospel completely revealed us. Now look, that's what they did. Instead of the new birth, they have a joining. Instead of taking the word, they have a creed. Show me in the Bible where they ever said Hail Mary. Show me in the Bible where you Protestants ever quoted the Apostles' Creed. Tell me where the Apostles' Creed's in the Bible. Communion of saints. They were against that. Tell me in the Bible where they ever had Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. It's not there. And yet you go for it. And instead of fellowship and brotherhood against brothers, they gave them a hierarchy, a pope. And you've got a bishop that tells you what you can do and what you can't do. And you Pentecostals, you've got a district presbyter that tells you what you can have. But the Church of Jesus Christ, now there's a blank there. And you know very well what that blank is. Fill it in. But the church has Christ, who is the Word. Because that was Brother Branham's expression. There's where you come. See? They give you those dogmas and man-made things instead. Taken it away. That's what the canker... What's that canker worm done? Taken it right off the tree and given you this. I'll run that off the tree and give you this instead. I'll take that off and give you this. And see where you go. And in other words, what is Brother Branham telling you? Telling the same thing everybody tells you. Nature abhors a vacuum. Take something out, something else comes. Always. Take it out, something else comes. When they took out life in the Garden of Eden, death came. At the end time, they're going to take out death, life's going to come. So he's telling you here, they simply did not take away the word. They did worse than that. They gave them something. It's like taking away food, then giving them poison. You say, well, Brother Branham, where did the Protestant church come from? Catholic. That's true. Time magazine ran a whole page on it. I wish I had it. It's somewhere in my office. Every single church comes from the Catholics. That's what Revelation 13, Revelation 17 said she would be. Said she was a whore. Mother of harlots. Same thing. Pot can't call kettle black, you know. Just don't do it. So that's right. Brotherhood. Took away brotherhood. When we ought to be brothers with one another, segregated us and made us different. All right. Now watch. Here's a good one. I'll get this one and then I'll stop to look at these others. Now, Brother Branham took this very seriously when he went to the preachers and he pleaded with them. But they would not listen and turned him away. Now, you and I cannot make people agree with us. And agreeing with people does not necessarily solve anything. It's only if that agreement came from God, such as two walk. How can two walk together except to be agreed? That goes plumb across the board with anything. Husband, wife, father, son, business, colleagues, you name it. But even more so when it comes to the gospel. You cannot have light and darkness. They simply will not mix any more than oil and water. Now, you're going to emulsify and make it look pretty good, but it's still not working. Because you're two different things. The Bible tells us when we've done wrong that we should purge our souls by the Holy Spirit. Get down. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to us what we're doing wrong. And stay there before Him till you die out purging our souls. Now they turned and gave you a purgatory. After you're dead, then the priest makes a lot of money to pray you out of purgatory. Now what's it, what? Now watch, he said, took it off the tree and gave something else. Took out the purging of life by trials, overcoming by faith in God, bringing forth victories, changing character, a process of sanctification. So what they've done, they've substituted repentance and sanctification and even restitution by saying, oh, it's okay, there's a purgatory down the road. See? All right, now, why, it's nonsense. That's what the cankerworm did, sure. Pray you out of purgatory. Cost so many hundreds of dollars to get this soul prayed out of purgatory. I want you to even find purgatory in the Bible, anything like it. There's no such thing in the Bible, no sir. But they give them a purgatory, see, after they're dead. Oh, yes, I know. They say, sure, you hear them say, well, St. Boniface said so and so. I don't care what St. Boniface said. Now, this brother, do you want to know where the Catholics get purgatory from? Monsignor Knox himself taught this. I have his Bible translation. A brilliant, brilliant translator. So don't sell him short. If you read the book of Acts by Monsignor Knox, it's like almost reading a Wild West story. It's so absorbing. It's so rapidly going across the board. You'll give up Nintendo for it. But let me tell you what Monsignor Knox says. He gets it from chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Rather, verse 11, for the foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which is built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. And he admits that the Catholic Church has anything to guide, to give them a sanction for purgatory, this is it. So the church assuredly says there's a purgatory, which there assuredly is not. Now they assuredly are going to pray you out of that which assuredly is not. There's only one thing I can hear, the clanging of the cash register and the dollar signs in their eyeballs. Because that's what it's all about. Who's got the gold and silver? Well, didn't so-and-so say to her, and she prayed for her husband, the great sister so-and-so. I don't care what she did. It's not authoritative word. It's against the authoritative apostles. God gave those apostles to set the church in order, and is built upon the doctrine of the apostles, not upon St. Boniface. For St. somebody else, it's contrary to the word. The question is where the apostles get their doctrine from the prophet. They were taught it. I don't care what St. Boniface said and what other saints or any other saints, and St. Susie and St. Maria. I don't know if there's a St. Susie, but I imagine there is. And all those others said, it's nonsense. Even the Catholic Church is smartening up. They found some of those guys weren't working so good. You know, who is the saint that's supposed to be the patron saint to protect somebody, and his protection wasn't worth a raspberry? They found too many people were getting burned or scorched or hurt or killed or something. They said, hey, this guy ain't working for us anymore. We'll cross him off the list. Can you believe that? Catholics are right to church hell, do you? All those priests molesting little kids, porter up there with literally hundreds of molestations. And who's defending them? Listen, I watch TV when I'm waiting home for the odd time. I tune in on CNN, I get the news. And who's sitting there? Women are sitting there. And the woman is defending the Catholic Church. You don't see a man, you see women. Think it over. Three women sitting there. What do you think? Well, the church is very wonderful. There's a couple bad people in there. Now, the other woman sitting there, well, they weren't Catholic, so they had a little more say. I don't think they're anything like the atheists. So the Catholic lady says, I understand there's about 4%. And they say, hold it. 26%, not 4%. Well, the battle of the sexes. Sex, I don't know. Here. Why didn't they go to the authoritative word of God that as a man does that to a man, you kill him? Ever since they've destroyed the word of God that says take action or don't take action, what's been left? Nothing. I don't care if you put to death all the priests that are pedophiles or homosexuals. That isn't even going to make one wart on the pickle disappear. No. The church has done its dirty work. Now you've got a harvest. And if you think the guys that did the dirty work aren't part of the harvest, you're wrong. Because they're the product what started in the first century and gained momentum in the fourth. Until now in the 20th, you see the complete whirlwind. And before it's long, not long before the church will have to embrace all the homosexuals and all the lesbians and give them all a place in the pulpit. Because if they don't, they'll lose all their status with the government. And they'll lose all their money. And who wants to go through that? I don't care what St. Boniface said, the rest of them said. If it's contrary to God's word, it's a lie. I don't believe the unauthoritative words. That's the reason I don't believe these Protestant creeds and these things. It's Catholic to the core. Sure, they started. It's dogmas. How can you call Catholics and make fun of them having dogmas when you yourselves are full of it? Not so much here, but this is on tape, you understand. It goes all over the world. Notice, how can you call them wrong when you take man-made creeds as contrary to the Bible? Dogmas just the same as they did. In other words, can't call the pot, can't call the kettle black. Why? Now listen, you're in an organization that's a daughter to the old prostitute. So what is the basis of organizations now called lodges? Off the word. Could this church then ever be an organization? No way, shape, and form. It's on the word. We don't have to classify, don't have to write it out. We just talk about it, explain what Brother Branham talked about, the rules that he showed us in the Bible, how these infallible rules take place, Alpha's Omega, the two vines never change, the left hand, right hand, blessing, cursing, right down the line. All of these wonderful things Brother Branham brought out, just waiting for people to receive them. But they're so inured with their old doctrine and Pentecostal dogma, and God knows what. I don't. You can't tell them anything. You say the judge is here, and the judge is here. They say, well, the judge is here, so and so and so and so. They don't listen to what the prophet said about that judge. Why did they go back to 1916, the opening of the church ages? It started with judge there, and when the seals came, it pronounced it. Who came down? If the word came down, brother, sister, it's got to be a judge. You mean to tell me you can separate light from dark and saint from sinner and bride from foolish, wise from foolish virgin without that word that judges betwixt? You tell me that Hebrews 4 and 12 is not fulfilled? Something's wrong with somebody, but it's not in this church, I can tell you that. And don't get your hopes waiting for something else going to come and rescue. Because nobody is, and no other word is. This is it. Brother Branham said, this is it. Everything we have to put us in the rapture. There's no more Elijahs and no more this and no more that. Don't think so for 1 minute. The pillar of fire, the Holy Ghost is here to lead us into the millennium. Absolutely, Brother Branham said so. See, you're an organization. That's a daughter of the old prostitute, just a lodge. What is a prostitute? Some woman that lives untrue to her husband, claiming to be a Christian church and giving out wrong doctrine, her own stuff, instead of taking God's holy word. What is this woman doing? She's raising up bastard children, claiming they are the children of God. Just like Eve did, listen to the devil and caused all the death and sword ever struck the earth. Came through Eve because she committed a spiritual fornication against God by disbelieving His Word. And that's exactly what the churches are doing today. Committing spiritual fornication against the Word of God. And they won't even have you in the church if you don't agree with their doctrine. Now, what did Brother Branham say the church is wrong in doing today? They are not having a sexual spiritual affair with Christ. Turned it down flat. Refused to raise up children to it. So what's he done? He just called out his own little children to one side, getting them ready for rapture. Oh, yes, indeed, my beloved friend. Well, they signed me letters. If you'll believe in this, and you'll say this is right, and you'll... I said, I just won't come. No, sir, I'll preach just what this Bible says, or none at all. See, that's right. Now, he's talking about joining a church to get credentials and go preaching. Stay on that word. That's what we got to do, brethren. Stay there. Now we're getting down to the last days, and we know that. The hour is here. How we could say, they say this, that, and the other. But anything that's not authoritative, don't believe it. I don't care who said it. Anybody. Now, the question arises. Hey, Brother Branham, you don't have any faith in people getting together and discussing that word and really bringing that word out according to Greek and Hebrew and this and that and the history and all the old writings and this and that. No, I don't. What have you got faith in? I got faith in vindication. And that's where we stand tonight, and that's what he's telling us. That is what's authoritative. Here a sister came in not long ago and said a certain group of men that I preached to, ministers, about the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, where 300 and something ministers sat. Plenty of people sitting here at the meeting, where the whole council of Chicago Ministerial Association met me. And the Lord gave me a vision, told me where they'd be and what would happen. And I turned right up there and I told them, we've got the tapes here if you want to hear it, see? And all the bishops and doctors and cardinals and all them standing there, I said, any of you that condemn it, get your Bible, come here. That's on oneness of the Godhead and baptism in Jesus' name. And I said, get your Bible, come here. I said, what are you so quiet about? There wasn't anybody that said anything. And why? They were afraid of that word. And I said, then if you can't, why are you picking on me? Hold your peace. Get out. Do something. And if you can't back it up with the word, then keep still. So then that same group of men sent a lady down and said, Brother Branham, the angel Lord told you, the angel Lord, you know, his picture there, you see, if the angel Lord told you that, well, we'll believe it. Now, just a minute. We can get some real hot water here. And the real hot water would be that the angel Lord, is Brother Branham speaking of that 6-foot dark-haired man with the curls down his back? That was no pillar of fire that came in that room that Billy Paul saw. We're talking about a pillar of fire. There's the picture he's talking about. Nobody got a picture of any angel. Now, just get this flat. Brother Branham points to the picture. It's that picture. All right, now, he said, listen, he said, when God sent Moses down there to Egypt, he himself appeared with him in signs and wonders. And the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai, so today. We have his picture. You can use different titles to mean different things. But you better be pretty careful what you're talking about. Now, angel of the Lord, Brother Paul said if an angel of God appeared with another doctrine, you wouldn't believe it. Don't believe it. Why? Because he had met with the pillar of fire. And Brother Branham said, just think how wonderful. Same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. So let's not get mixed up on terminology and start beating our brains out with questions. Now, she said the angel of the Lord told you we would believe it, what you're telling it. I said, anybody that, a ministerial group that would be that weak, if the angel of the Lord said, if that angel said something contrary to this word, it wouldn't be the angel of the Lord. In other words, does God change his mind? No way. The angel of the Lord will vindicate the word. Now, just a minute, who vindicated the word? An angel, or did God vindicate his own word? Well, that same angel did. Where did he get the power? He that has seen me has seen the Father. The Father in me doeth the works. What do you hear him say? I say. What I see him do, I do. Don't get fooled, brother, sister. Don't get fooled. See, Brother Branham said, he also said, the angel of the Lord will vindicate the word. Where do you find in Scripture that God has anybody vindicate the word but himself? I stand behind my word to perform it. My word will not return to me void. Read Isaiah 55. But accomplish what I have sent it. Take everything, Brother Branham said, right back to the word. The angel of the Lord will vindicate the word. That's exactly what he's always done through every age. He still does the same thing. He stays with the word. And any minister anointed with the Holy Ghost will stay with the same word, because the Bible said the entire Bible is written by the Holy Ghost. And how can you have the Holy Ghost and deny what the Bible says? How many made the ark? How many are baptized with the Holy Ghost? How many saying it, Brother Branham said? Now don't leave the building saying I said there ain't. I told you in the previous part of the message it's a percentage. Looking at a percentage, whatever that stands with, don't ask me. You say, Brother Branham said 500, said 5,000 one place also. He never said that was thus saith the Lord. The thus saith the Lord was very few. The very spirit in you bears record that is not right. That's your creeds. Creeds are not right. The canker worms been eating away all the true things of God. Eating away the word. Unauthoritative word that's contrary to the doctrine of the apostles. Oh my. That is the apostolic doctrine. This is the Bible. This is the Holy Spirit. Every word in it is true. If you just believe and accept it and don't take down on it and watch every promise as it's fulfilled. In other words, don't try to figure it out. Just believe it. And wait until it's fulfilled. The manifestation of God's presence right now. Oh boy, what about that one? The bride tree. God himself had to come down and fix this mess up, right? Brother Branham said at the end time, what did God do in the beginning? In the beginning, positively, God himself came down to his beleaguered son and daughter who had defiled themselves. He couldn't trust anybody else. So today, the prophet said. The manifestation of God's presence right now. He used the word present, so he's present right now. If he isn't just as much God now as he was with the children of Israel across the Red Sea, he wouldn't be God now. If he isn't the same God that fell on Pentecost and he is right here today, he isn't the same God. Then there was no resurrection. There couldn't be a resurrection. Listen, if there was no resurrection, there could be no baptism. That tells you that. You want to know where it is? Huh? Tell me somebody. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, it should be, if I've not made a mistake. All right, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Jesus is risen from the dead. The same baptism is here today and the same baptizer giving us the same baptism. He's present, proving the resurrection. What good would a historical God do you If he isn't the same God today, what good does it do to send preachers to the seminaries and hatch them out like incubator chickens and go around like that if there's no such thing as God? In other words, the God of the Bible, the great manifester, the great vindicator, God, the present ever-living God. What are you doing taking away from the Word of God? Where's your authority at that? You say the church. 969 different organizations of them. Which one is right? You know how to settle this dispute? Give them all cams. Give them all guns. He goes, now boys, go do it. Oh, shoot out of the old corral. Need a few wide herbs. Instead of a bunch of wide burps. All right. No one would know what to do. You'd be confused. That's right. But God isn't going to judge the people by the church. He's going to judge them by Christ, and Christ is the Word. The Bible said in the beginning is the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And he said, if you make Jesus the Word, you got three gods. God himself became flesh. How? Through the tabernacle indwelling that one Son. He dwelt among us. He judged the church and the people by the Word. That's right. The living, resurrected Word. In other words, the living Word, proven. Then another thing about it, Brother Branham said, if Jesus fell on the ground, was there 3 days and three nights and came forth, the church had to fall on the ground. How did he do it? By the Word. He's stripping this all away. What's he doing? Going to bring the Word all the way back. He's already done it. If people only realized it. And quit looking for something else in somebody. Just go to the Word yourself on your face before God. He judged the church and the people by the Word. That's right, the living, resurrected Word. Then if that living, resurrected Word says anything contrary to this Word here, then it's not the risen, resurrected Word, because this, he will bear witness of this truth. Pure vindication. Pure vindication. That's all. Pure vindication. Nobody else can make it work. He can't say something here and something else over here. I can say something here and something over there because I'm a man. You can too. You can get more knowledge and understanding, but not God. He's infinite, see? He has his first decision. His first thing he says, he has to stand eternally. I just told you that, you know, at the beginning of the message. It's the same. He cannot say one thing here and something over here. He's got to say the same thing every time in order to be God. So if the Spirit of God is on, so if the Spirit is on you, is of God. So if that Spirit that's on you is of God, it'll witness this Word's the truth, every word of it, and if it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the Bible said. Yes, sir, all right. Now remember, Brother Branham took us back to Hebrews 13 and 8, and it was Genesis 18. Wasn't what Pentecostals and people tell us. He took us back to how God does things, never changing. There's where Hebrews 12, 4 and 12 comes in. Now let's hurry and get the next stage of this little bug. First he was a palmer worm. What did he eat off of God's tree? Fruit. The next stage he came, he died in that stage, and came to another stage. What did he do now? He came as a locust, ate all the leaves off. The locust have it. Now what's the next thing he did? Back another stage as a canker, went into the bark. Of course, you go to the bark, that's where the sap goes up. You've got real problems right there. Anything left in is going to go in the roots. Now, here it comes as a caterpillar, the fourth stage. Now, everything that was there before the caterpillar is poured into him, right? And at this stage, if he can get the light, what is he? Death. The pale horse. The brindle horse. It's not pale horse. Pale horse is a wrong translation. It's brindle. And what is brindle? Red and white and black poured into one. Right? Come on. Anybody knows that? You've been around a horse? Well, you have to have been around more than one horse to know the colors. But I've been around them. I don't think it did me much good. Didn't get much horse sense. Of course, I wasn't looking for it. Prefer to have God sense. Caterpillar. What is a caterpillar? He's a sucker. Sucks the light, see? The spirit, the light. That's what he does. Gets right down a hold of the pulp and goes to sucking. Caterpillar. Here he is. Who are we going to call him? Denomination. That's the guy's right name. Why? He's destroyer. Sucks the light. Every time that God sends a move among... Now watch. Every time God sends a move among his people, every time they denominate, right there and they die, except the last stage. Why? Because they're completely pregnant by the Word of God. The womb is closed. I want somebody that knows history of the church to condemn that. Show me one time that an organization ever organized that it didn't die right there. The canker worm got a hold of it, took its religion away. The sucker came along and sucked the life right out of the tree. What kind of a life was in it? Holy Spirit, what to do? It couldn't hold the Holy Spirit in there and then still have dogmas, and Holy Spirit couldn't stand for it. So it takes the holy, the life out of the tree, and gives it a dogma, makes the denomination. We don't care what this says. Our denomination says this. Why did Brother Branham say this? Because he categorically said, the conduit of the Holy Ghost is the Word. No Word, no Spirit, no Spirit, no Word. Take your pick. What kind of life was in it? Holy Spirit, what to do? Couldn't hold the Holy Spirit in there and still have dogmas. The Holy Spirit wouldn't stand for it. So he takes the life of the tree, gives it, makes it a dogma, makes a domination. And Brother Branham also said, my Spirit, my Word are Spirit and life. We don't care what this says. Our denomination says this. There you are. Remember, after he denominates, it always dies and never rises again. The first organization was Catholic. Dies immediately. Of course, it was dogma to begin with. Out of there come the first Reformation was Luther. Organized and died. Next came Wesley. Organized and died. Next came Pentecost. Organized and died. Lutheran, all these others, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, all organizations fall along. Everyone died. Look at them. Why? They organize, and that kills them. What did they do? They take in these dogmas. You Nazarenes, wonderful. Next to the church, coming up to Pentecost, what was it? You believe in sanctification. When it came to gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, the great power of God, you called the devils, and there you die. And Brother Branham saw the Nazarene church making love to a corpse. Can you imagine that? Yay. If they caught an undertaker doing that, and they have caught him, put him in prison, what's God going to do to the Nazarene church? This is rotten homosexuality. I can't understand that one. Oh, I sort of, you know. That's right. Where is she today? Dead. Oh, she's got more members. But where is she? Is she? She's a corpse. I seen her the other night. That's right. The whole thing. Her pastor laying on top, kissing the corpse, making love to it. I forgot he said that in this sermon. I got ahead, didn't I? Said, they ain't got no more time anyhow. This is all of it. So I'll give some of it on tape, see? All right. God planted his tree to bear spiritual fruit, fruits in spirit. Now remember, God planted his tree for his fruit, which is the church, with spirit-filled members, which is his fruit. Oh, hey. Don't you listen to what anybody tells you. Just stay with the prophet and learn what he says about it. And you'll know. You people hunger for gifts and all, sure, I'm not against it. But if you don't know what you're doing, you better stay away from it. You better have someone right there in that door that can discern spirits. I came out of Pentecost. I can tell you lots of things. I can show you lots of deceptions. Oh, I went all through them myself. I was deceived and deceiving. Oh, yeah. Had a great time deceiving. I thought I was right. When light struck, that all went. So, well, you murdered men's souls. Why, no doubt. But I can tell you one thing. They already were dead. God never lost a part of himself and never will. Don't you ever kid yourself. God planted his tree to bear spiritual fruit, fruits of the Spirit. Is that right? What did man do? Man always tried to make an artificial form. He did back there. He does now. Now this. Let's fire hard now and quick. Man has always tried to take the spiritual church and make it in an artificial form. In other words, always attempt to reduce everything in here to some kind of form that you can utilize, and consequently, without realizing, you are usurping God and his power and blaming it all onto God. Just like Eve did. And Adam did. You gave me that woman. Yeah. Oh. Hey, this is lovely. You know, I'm having a great time. I don't know about you, but I'm having a great time. I didn't know this sermon was going to be this good. I chose it. I felt I should. And after I got in there a while, I thought, you know, I wonder if I really took the right one, because I wasn't quite enjoying it. But man, I'm having a jubilee tonight. I'm even having a great time up here perspiring. Stimulated. Actually stimulated. Now, Luther had a spiritual church. What happened? As soon as Luther died, they made it a form, artificial. See? In other words, it became an artifact. Something of the hand, something man was doing. Because God backed away because he's in his word. What did Wesley do? John Wesley, great man of God. Who would say John Wesley wasn't a great man of God? What did he do? As soon as he and John and Charles died, they organized it. When she did, she died. Exactly. Wesley himself knew that. He said, I do not believe the day will ever come when there will not be a Methodist. But he said, I mourn because the day will come when the dove will have flown. He knew what Brother Branham was saying. Brother Branham is not chatting away like some little guy that's trying to be big. This is history. I can get you the quote. Certainly. Same thing down through every age on everyone. They made artificial put on, good works, biggest congregation, smartest people. The celebrity of the city wants to join us. That's exactly what's happening, you bunch of Pentecostals too. That's exactly right. You let down the bars. You got away from the Spirit. You wanted big buildings and finery, everything like that. You got dignified pastors. What'd you do? Your mother sent your boys away to some seminaries out there to become pastors. What did they go to teaching them? Theology and all kinds of man-made stuff. And where is it today? They come back a bunch of Rickies and Elvises. That's exactly right. What have you got today? A bunch of Tommy Rod, a form of godness. The Bible said in the last days they'd have a form of godness, but deny the power thereof, the life thereof. Why? The caterpillar sucked it up. The organization took it away. I'm going to quit here. I think we just may possibly read portions of Scripture, because this is for the last day to let you know exactly what is going on, as Brother Branham quotes from Timothy and other places. We all have about 5 minutes left. Have we got that? How much? Oh, that's nice. We'll get on with this on next Sunday. And, okay, we're already on page 50. We should be able to move right along and get through. Let's just see, what have we got? About 75? Well, we've got about 25 pages to go. And what did we cover tonight? About 8 pages? 8 pages. Okay, that's not bad. Let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for life and breath and all the good things you've given us, Lord, especially the mind of the hour, which is the mind of Christ, the truly revealed Word. And Lord, we cannot boast and claim within ourselves that we are truly Spirit-filled because we truly have the Word, and truly have the Word, therefore Spirit-filled. We believe, Lord, that this is what has happened in our lives. And we do not try to prove anything, Father. We only ask, if wherein we're off even at one iota, one jot, one tittle, anything rough, Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we will have something from you in our hearts, Lord. And we believe if you are, a little part of you is in there, we will have that. That we'll earnestly want to be corrected and get our passive faith exactly 100% lined up. But at the same time, not neglect walking in the Spirit. Even as Paul said, if you walk in the Spirit, see that you walk in the Spirit. And Father, we know that's true. There's an active faith and a positive and a passive faith. And Lord, we want the active faith now to catch up with that passive faith, because we believe it's incumbent upon us now to have this brotherly love within the church. And we know it's going to be within the church, because that's what Paul is talking about. And Brother Branham's talking about. So Lord, may it be that the love of the brethren, that the love of this word together will cause us to be strong as never been strong before. And even though people might be offended, Lord, because we take a strong stand and for what we believe, those same people, Lord, must realize they themselves are taking a strong stand for what they believe. And so, Lord, we understand, and they must understand in this late hour, there is a demarcation, there is a separation. And Lord, we pray that we've been separated to the right pastor, separated unto our God, separated by this word to the separation of the going away. That Matthew 24 and Luke 17 blend, and it blends in us, Lord. We're just asking you for help, Father. But as Brother Branham said, we want to be like him, Lord, none of us aspire nor altogether aspire to be like him. But we would like to be able to say like he said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we won't stand in the way. But rather, Lord, from me like the days of old John himself, the Baptist, when he said, I'm not the bridegroom. I'm a friend of the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom rejoices. Oh, God, We know that tonight, at least we are friends in this particular hour, that we do rejoice over this tremendous, wonderful, manifested, revealed word of this hour, the great vindication of God, God Himself appearing, all of these things, we rejoice in it. And Lord, we would stand here tonight, hopefully with all our hearts, if we're not bribed, at least we're somehow counting that great retinue out there somewhere, somehow, as friends of it all, friendly, happy, and glad that we at least have recognized the day in this hour. So we commend ourselves to you, Father. Bless the sick amongst us, may they be healed. And those that couldn't be here because of sickness, Father God, we pray that you really touch them in the name of Jesus Christ and liberate them from their sickness, Lord. Because we know that there's not one iota of the healing power of God rescinded just because the prophet's gone and the great healing revival's over. That just set the tempo. That just set the word. But now, Lord, everything else can come out of the word in healing. As Brother Branham said, take this message for your healing. Lord, let the people, there's some phone hookups tonight, and those that hear the tape, if they get it now and are sick, in the holy name of Jesus Christ, may that name, which is the name we're baptized in, the name we're believing in, that name that's exalted now by the power of the Holy Ghost through a living word, come against every disease in these people's body and liberate them and help them to have the strength that they need and the happiness and the joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. The wine of stimulation coursing through their mind and going into their very veins to help them. Father, we thank you for strength given for the meeting tonight, for the joy of being here, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost through the Word, the people in their ardor and affection for you, Lord, in the Word, and we believe one in each other. How we praise you tonight. Be with us as we're going home in the fog and coming back on Sunday if it's 140 below zero, which we know it wouldn't be. But Lord, no matter how wicked the weather gets, we pray you'll keep our building and keep our people to come together to worship your great and holy name and fall in love all over again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.